Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
The Quilted Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11 a.m. with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored through the generosity of the Rural Foundation.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Good morning.
I haven't been for a look yet to see whether our little promo post posted. I do battle every week.
I think you're not alone, Sue. I think everyone in this world who looks after a page on Facebook does battle with Meta as often as they engage with it. It's kind of like you get used to how Meta works or how you can post things on Facebook, whether it's an event or a post or whatever. And then the next time you go in, they make it fun by changing those things. So,
It's kind of like they must have a metric in there. They must have a metric in there that says, are too many people getting this right? Let's change it.
I know. This is active learning, sponsored by Meta, basically.
That's a very positive way. There's much clanking and crashing because I'm trying to find the thing that connects my headphones to the bigger plug.
I will find you one.
Possibly be at home, but anyway, that's okay.
I can give you one. In
I don't
our
need
next
to
break.
Hear anything anyway.
Yes, you do.
I just need to do talking. yes, you do. As I'm moving in and out of the radius of the you know microphone.
That's right, and I'm having fun doing the sliders up and down to
try and deal with me crashing and banging.
There we go. So anyway, happy Matariki.
Yeah,
gosh.
It's been, it's really nice having that sort of mid-year kind of a stop and reflect and acknowledge that we are actually in New Zealand and not some suburb of outer London or something.
That's right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We put our garlic in yesterday.
Garlic?
Yes, we put in our garlic, and I made a new realisation, which is that when you order five garlic plants from where you order these things from, you don't actually stick the whole thing in at once. You actually pull off the cloves and you put the individual cloves in. So instead of having five garlics that I'm planting, I have a huge amount, 15. So basically, yes, so, yeah.
I think that's not a bad thing.
We do eat a lot of garlic at home, so that's good.
And it's good because you get the sort of stems. I think we'd been looking forward to whacking some more shallots in the ground, but they don't go in until February, so.
Oh, gosh, I didn't know.
We missed that.
Yeah. In case you didn't realise, you're listening to today's Quilted Bananas program on Access Radio 106.1 FM. And we are radio by and for queer, intersex, intersectional, lesbian, takatāpui, trans, NB, diverse, bisexual, ace, and some of us are nanas as well.
Yes.
So that's where Quilted Bananas comes from. And we live broadcast on Te Whanganui o Taro Wellington on Sundays, obviously at 10 a.m. And you're listening to 106.1 FM Access Radio. And you can also listen to the shows during the week by downloading them or streaming them from the Access Radio website. Or you can also grab them as podcasts as well. Just look for us in your favourite podcast player. And so today, as you might have gathered, we're Sue and Fiona, if you've listened to the show before. We kind of nominally call the show Tangents, don't we, Sue?
Yeah.
Yes, because we do tend to have a slight stream of consciousness when we...
Bouncing off the walls and...
Bouncing off each other, Sue.
Bouncing off each other.
Yes,
oh, okay.
In terms of our topics and bouncing off the walls as well, especially when we're talking about Meta.
Yes, indeed.
Exactly. And we'll be talking today about data analysis and some of the data that came out of the census, and also some books that I've been reading, some TV that we've both been watching. And we'll also tell you about some of the really neat things that are coming up as well. But first of all, we'd like to say a big thank you to the Rural Foundation, which has been our sponsor for the Call to Bananas program. And the grants paid for our Access Radio time and allows us to make our voices heard live and also via podcasts you can download later. And you can find out about the Rural Foundation by visiting ruralfoundation.nz. You can always find out about Call to Bananas on our Facebook page or on our page on Access Radio 106.1 FM. And should we start off with a banger, Sue, or should we?
Yeah, I was just noting that the one of the ads in the break is Access Radio, who are obviously a bit short of cash. The gap between budget and costs just never really seems to make up. And how much I've been enjoying Access Radio this week, because I just put it on the car, and it's always quite, you know, it's quite positive just to hear the stories from the actual community, from a diverse and rich community in a world that seems a little bit grim. So that's my recommendation. If you're feeling a bit down about how things are, you know, grab the odd Access Radio, put it on the radio, put it on the streaming. Enjoyable.
Well, yeah, because there's always different programs on there, aren't there? You can kind of, like, there's a huge variety on there.
There's a huge variety and some... You know, there's interesting programs. There's some that's like, that's not really my thing. But you know, wait an hour and there's something else will be coming up. So I just have to say how much I've been enjoying that this week.
Cool. Very good.
So what's your banger?
Okay, so I had a look and it doesn't say it's explicit. I have a funny feeling that there's some interpretation of the song that might be deemed to be explicit. So it's
We'll just interpret it in non-explicit ways.
Exactly, yeah. So this is Toa Bird, who I discovered, who is Filipino but has lived in London, I think, for a while. In a relationship with Rene Rapp, another singer as well, and maybe actor, I guess. The question mark was because I think I'm right that she is an actor.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is Drain Me by Toa Bird.
Take it too far. Take what you want.
that's a good way to start the day, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. And I hope you didn't interpret it in any way. So
I didn't. I actually don't really connect the words in the music. So if the music grabs me, it's like I've been listening to the song for 10 years before I think, oh my goodness, did
oh my goodness.
Say that?
Well, you know what? I'm also doing an oh my goodness because, you know, there are lots of people I know who really focus on the lyrics of music, and I'm very much in your camp insofar that I listen to the music and don't really listen to the lyrics. So sometimes later on I'll think, oh gosh, actually if you listen to the lyrics, they definitely kind of like keep on repeating them over and over again. But the music's great, so I have no idea, yeah. So, as mentioned earlier, is that I had asked you, because I know that you're a data analysis nerd. Do you mind being called a data analysis nerd?
No. I don't mind being called that because I am.
But you enjoy doing data analysis. So I threw you a curveball this week.
Yeah.
By saying that I'd heard that there was some new stats that had come out of the census on LGBTQIA representation across Aotearoa, and could you have a look at them? And it sounds like you did. We had a brief chat in the car. So
I indeed have had a look at
some. Yeah, so tell us what you found.
So in the olden days, like a few months ago, there used to be some tools on Stats New Zealand site, which was NZ Stat and InfoShare. InfoShare is kind of an ARC. Out of the ARC, works well. I use it all the time. But there is a new tool, and that's Aotearoa Data Explorer. So I think that's replacing NZ Stat. What they've done is they've loaded a lot of tables from the last census are loaded up into that Aotearoa Data Explorer, which you can find on stats.gov.nz under their tools, which is their big data set tools. And its actual website is https://explore.data.stats.gov.nz. So when you open up that Aotearoa Data Explorer, it comes up with a search, which I have to say I have not heard. Yeah, I have a mixed relationship with search, but down on the bottom right of that has got the 2023 census. Now, you won't find anything about LGBT QI people in New Zealand that isn't that's from previous censuses. This was the first time that it was done, and being the first time it was done, it's quite tempting to make some interpretations that then I had to sit down and think, no, this is the first time, this is a snapshot. So this tool, I have to say, I found a little bit interesting to get it going nicely. So it's got the you choose the 2023 census, and then from that 2023 census, the ethnicity, culture, and identity, because we are indeed well placed under identity, I think. And then on the left hand side, there are a whole lot of section of filters, and you've actually got to go down. The bottom of the page says more filters, and you sort of think, okay, so there'd be a few more there. Actually, there's this huge list of other things that sit under that. And towards the bottom of that huge list, I think about sort of probably about 80-90% of the way down, is the LGBTQ. How did they put it? LGBTIQ indicator. If you select the total LGBTIQ indicator, what'll come up on the right hand side is all the tables that they've loaded in the that have that indicator. So they've got a whole lot of ones that are sort of seriously useful or should be seriously useful in terms of kind of services targeting and delivery. So there's a table that's got disability, tables that have ethnicity. So they're mostly, I think, mostly by region. And I think all of them have another sort of variable in there. So they have ethnicity or disability or housing status or whether people are living in damp houses, what work they're doing, what industries they're working in. So the easiest way to get to maybe what you're a bit interested in is I kind of got this routine where I choose the LGBT one and do the total on that. So don't choose the under the total to start off with, just choose the total, and then choose the total for if there's another kind of variable that you're interested in. So you might choose the total for that and the total for the cigarette smoking, for example. Then once you've got those in, it will offer up the tables that have these sets of information. And then you can go through back on the left-hand side and filter on the particular things that you're looking for. So you could look for example, ones by region. So it will throw up by regional council and by sort of city council and by a third one. I can't remember what the third one is. So you can do your breakdowns by city or by region. What it'll do is throw all three up. So what I was doing last night was go through and get rid of one, or you know, choose one of the three rather than choose all three, because you end up blowing out your table quite quickly. And so then you go through and choose the ones you're interested in. So if you're interested in, okay, well, I'm interested in the queer community and what that looks like in terms of some of these other things, you can just select on the LGBTQI marker. And you can leave out, you know, if you're not looking for a comparison, queer versus non-queer, you can leave the non-queer out of that picture. So if
but why would we ever want to do that?
Well, because, for example, we know that who we're trying to connect with,
mm-hmm.
Or who's likely to be our you know, biggest core of listeners, will be from that LGBTQ community. Now, mm-hmm. some people from outside there enjoy it, but mm-hmm. if what you're wanting to do is to say, you know, what is my community that I'm speaking to here look like, that lets you focus in on that community. And similarly, you know, if Wellington City Council wants to know what their community looks like, say, for housing, then they wouldn't necessarily look at non-Wellington stuff. They look at, you know, where's our problems in Wellington City. So that will bring down the tables. There's a block that lets you lay it out, so that's pretty much like the previous stuff out of stats. That's quite useful. If you click the layout, then you can drag the, say if you want them in columns rather than rows, you can swap the columns and rows around. And then apply that and you'll see the table on the screen. You can download the Excel files for that. I tried, because I usually work off CSVs, but the CSVs that I pulled down bore no relationship whatsoever to what was in the Excel table. So I've stuck with the Excel tables when I was doing this. But I might go back and ask Stats New Zealand what sense do I make of the values here, because, you know, they don't seem to align with the values in the other areas. So,
What did you find? What did you find there?
How to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were a few fun things, because, you know, all the serious stuff, people do all the serious stuff and we can go and have a look at, you know, what are the sort of communities, you know, what might be looking like a community need, say, in terms of housing or cigarettes. But because we're not doing that, we just want to get a bit of an indication of who our community is. So I thought, I know there's lots in Wellington, but what about other places?
Mm-hmm.
So.
But how many? Well, are you going to tell us how many in Wellington?
How many in Wellington? How many tick the box?
Yes.
So that's another story for a little bit further down the track. But
Am I jumping to the exciting bit?
No. we're just the real oil here.
Okay.
For Wellington City, there were 18,000, a little over 18,000 people ticked that box.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for Wellington City. The total population for Wellington City is 173,547. What that means is more than 1 in 10 of Wellingtonians have ticked that LGBTIQ box.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
just a quick thing is that, so the 170, were they the people who in the census said that they were from Wellington City?
Yes.
Right, cool. Not the population of Wellington City as known generally, kind of thing.
Oh, well, you know, that's the idea of a census, is that it covers everybody.
Oh, that's true, yes.
It covers everybody. Uh-huh. So you fill them out, mm-hmm. you know, if you're at home with little squealers,
mm-hmm.
You fill them out for, mm-hmm. for the little mm-hmm. kiddies as well. So it should count everybody. That's
right.
So that's what a census is, mm-hmm. as opposed to a survey. A survey goes out and picks a sample and then kind of makes an estimate of the population based on the sample. This is based on
mm-hmm.
going and talking to everybody. So 18,000, more than 1 in 10 in Wellington, more than... Of the people who answered, 11% of the people who answered. So a fairly standard sort of question was, were the people who didn't answer, could you just guess that they're, or, you know, make a reasonable estimate that they're likely to be the same as the people who did answer? I don't think that's a reasonable assumption to make for this, because there are reasons people don't answer, and we don't necessarily know what those reasons are, but often it's people object to being asked because they're very homophobic. People object to being asked because they're closeted and don't see risk in answering. So there's really quite extreme cases where people are choosing not to answer, and we don't know to what extent those sort of fit into the overall population. So we had how many? 12,000 didn't reply overall. And we don't know where they're likely to sit in the LGBT or non-LGBTQ, my suspicion would be if you nailed them down and made them answer, they'd probably choose not, but that may be, not necessarily what people would take as a accurate representation. So my first question was, okay, well, you know, Wellington City, they're sort of, you know, terminally cool, aren't they? They've got all the things. going for them. Where else do people where else do your queers end up? And my first guess was Kapiti.
Mm-hmm.
But no, of the ones that I have nearby, so I've done Wellington region, and I think I've got Whanganui, Palmerston North. I don't think I've got Horowhenua. Yep, so I thought, Kapiti, a big Kapiti, won't it? No, it's 4.5% in Kapiti.
Ooh.
Ooh, I thought. So where is the second biggest? And it would be Palmerston North.
Gosh.
So go Palmy, which, you know, is not actually entirely... it took me by surprise, but then I thought about it and I thought, nah, they're got a bit of a... Got a bit of a community up there. Next was Lower Hutt City, 4.8%. So these are these numbers are, you know, around half of what's there in Wellington. And part of the reason for that may be the age distribution. So what other tables did I come up with? Which was the Wellington region is at 6.8%, so that's those other ones down at the sort of four to five. But I don't think anywhere else comes close to Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
So Canterbury, Otago, Canterbury were the next in line, so not Auckland.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
It's pretty straight up there. So Auckland was 4.3%, Otago 5.1%, nearly up there with Palmy.
Mm.
Canterbury 4.5%.
So Otago was higher than Christchurch, yeah?
Yeah, and whether that's, you know, whether that's your distribution of your city versus... versus country populations or...
Well, yeah, and I guess that's the thing, is that the Samoa district and Waimakariri around there as well. So I guess added together in that broader kind of...
I think these are both sort of regions, so, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
In the same way that Wellington's got a number of councils. That's the area. We've done the area.
Mm.
Occupation. I thought this is like, you know, here's me going after my stereotypes.
Yes.
So
what did you find?
I found community and personal service workers 6.4%.
Mm.
Sales workers 6.3%. Professionals 5.1%. So these are all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the least queer population, machinery operators and drivers was the occupational grouping there, and that's 2.9%. So it's not, you know, it still ticks along, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And the industry,
mm-hmm.
much stronger percentages showing in the industry, arts and recreation services.
Oh yes.
Yeah, 7.9%.
Ooh.
Hospo. Mm-hmm. Accommodation and food services, 7.8%.
Gosh.
Which, it kind of fits in my
so what were the arts?
And the stereotypes in my head.
So the arts and recreation were
7.9%.
Right.
Winner by 0.1%.
Yes.
down the mm-hmm. least tick in the box,
mm-hmm.
Mining. Now, mining's quite a small population anyway.
It would be.
It's about 6,000 people there, and 1.6%.
Mm-hmm.
So from arts and recreation at 7.9% down to mining at 1.6%. Information, media, and telecoms, and that's kind of interesting because a lot of things like Mastodon and all those are quite dominated by queer. So a lot of lot of what you'd not necessarily think of as being necessarily queer environments.
Right.
Got a high proportion in there. Yeah, so I thought that was quite interesting. The age was really interesting too. That the overall percentage in the 19 to 29 was 8%, and 30 to 64 was 3.5%, 65 was 1.5%. Now, this is where that this is just a snapshot, so you don't know whether those numbers are different to what they would have been 30 years ago, or whether, you know, there's a cohort that's died off. So you're 65 plus, you know, is the population there lower because we're in the age range that that had a lot of AIDS deaths, for example, or that where, you know, sort of people haven't necessarily been in work that's well paid, and then their survival of that may not have been great. So you don't know that because this is a one-off. You don't know whether it's that people have shifted reporting orientation, or is it just that is more accessible to a younger population now, that knowledge of themselves.
Well, going back to what you said before, it's about that, like you were just saying, I guess, it's about them feeling comfortable about noting themselves within that community, right?
So I think there's interesting stories to be pulled out of it. It's kind of hard to see them directly on screen unless it happens to be one that it's going to dish up. Sometimes what you want to know is where everybody is by age group, for example. And it's going to give you ethnicity whether you want it or not, you know. That downloading it into an Excel and then giving it a bit of a rummage on the Excel and selecting out the columns and rows that you actually want.
So you can spend quite a bit of time kind of delving into that information. And I think I was telling Sue that some people I know did some more in-depth kind of analysis of the suburbs within the cities as well. So there's quite a lot that you can kind of find in that information. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in doing it, yeah.
And the same with sort of, you know. So each has an aggregation to the highest levels, so say the region.
Right.
And then that breakdown, so, you know, so there's the regional council level, your territorial authority, your city council level, and then the suburban level. So I think there's a lot there for communities and for places like the council to be able to determine, you know, what kind of things people need, because 10% is a significant chunk of your population.
Yeah.
And when you think of, you know, huts got to furry but Wellington doesn't have that thing. On the other hand, the libraries have been really quite sort of good in providing a sort of LGBT friendly both spaces and resources.
Cool.
I don't know whether you want to do a song first.
Yeah, should we do a song first?
Yeah.
So Sue happened to mention to me just before we came in how much she had enjoyed the song that was played by Creek a couple of weeks ago. Creek had interviewed Miss Rose Valentina a few weeks ago, and or actually a little while ago.
It's been a wee while ago.
Yeah, yeah, it was a wee while ago. But anyway, the song that we played a few weeks ago when I teched for Creek was a new one called Synth Aquatica. And so I said, oh, yes, I enjoyed it so much that I went on Bandcamp and bought it because I liked it so much. So now you're going to enjoy hearing it again as well. So hopefully you enjoyed it last time.
I did.
And other people out there too, yes. So here we go. And that was The Legend of Synth Aquatica by Miss Rose Valentina. Fantastic song. You can get it on Bandcamp. It's not on Spotify or anything like that, as I can see. Well, it's not on Spotify anyway, put it that way. But, yeah, no, yeah. Go and support Miss Rose Valentina. And we could post up when the that previous interview was and make that available to you. And so, Sue, One of the things you mentioned.
One of the things is the is them dropping it off.
Yes, so, exactly.
So the census is currently, at least, hopefully not for forever, dead.
So you mentioned before that it was a one-off. So this was the first time that information on our community had been in there.
Yep.
And in fact, it's going to be the only one for the foreseeable future.
For the foreseeable future. So they're moving to using administrative data. So that'll be from, they'll be pulling data from many sources. I can't think of a source that has LGBTQI systematically recorded. So this is the one and only one that we're going to have for some time.
It's such a shame.
Oh, it's madness, actually, because the reason you do a census, as opposed to just surveys or relying on your data, is there's no other way to pick up people that are being systematically missed by those. I think it's madness. But, you know, if what you're about is transferring money from the poorest to the richest and not providing any services to anybody, then you don't need a census because you're not providing any services to anybody. So get out there and fill in that regulatory standards.
Yes, it closes tomorrow, I think.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
But you know, even if you say this is rubbish, don't do it. Because if you want David Seymour deciding what services get delivered and being able to do that by himself, that's the thing to have in place.
Because so many of our communities, different groups in our community will be kind of hidden by the fact that that there's no longer a census to kind of get that information. So yeah, I know you said to me that they were going to try and pull data from elsewhere to make up the shortfall.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that.
So there are good data sources in terms of your registrations of your births, deaths in particular, your immigration data, who's coming in, who's going out. So you get a head count, you probably get a bit of an age distribution. You don't get to know whether, you know, the queer community is relatively bigger than Destiny Church, or indeed from the more kind of mainstream churches, you know, how big is your religious population? Should that be factored into your policy? Where's your housing? Or your unhoused people, the people that are generally invisible to kind of mainstream administration, just start to disappear. People's ethnicity disappears. So I cannot see this going well. It didn't go well for the UK. I'm not sure it went well for us when our census fell over because of the Christchurch earthquake and subsequently the pandemic. But at the moment, it's going to be very difficult to restart one. Anyway. Sad face.
Yes, yes, very much a sad face.
So that's us as we are today.
Yes.
Who knows how we will be as we are tomorrow.
Or that's right.
10 years' time.
Yeah, that's right.
As that lovely little population of our youngsters who are, you know, really in many ways the heart of the population, actually, they're the majority who will put their hand up and say. So should we move on?
Yes. To some books.
To some books.
Yeah. So I've been, as usual, just trolling through the collections of various libraries around the region. And one of the things that popped up is this wonderful, it's quite a slim volume, actually, and it's 50 LGBTQ finds from the Portable Antiquities Scheme by a guy called Ben Pates. As I said, it's a slim one, but it basically has photographs, some of them contemporary, but also of kind of things like the items, I guess, like the rainbow flag, the progress flag, but it also has photographs of items that have been found by the community as well, primarily in Britain, but you know, associated with ancient ways. So it has a photograph of, for example, old coins or artworks and things, but it also talks about those people and the people associated who were ruling at that time. So, for example, Alexander the Great, through various accounts, Alexander was known to have relationships with men as well as marrying at least three women, but his closest male companion throughout much of his life was Hephaestion, who was a Macedonian noble, and both made comparisons between themselves and the mythical Achilles and Patroclus, who were believed to have been lovers. But in the book there's also royals and same-sex relationships with people in their circles, and all the drama that alludes to kind of drama where somebody wasn't very nice, so they latched onto somebody else, and but also a natural world section which talks about same-sex relationships in the natural world. So photographs of giraffes and things. At first glance, the book looks pretty dry, and it looks like a exhibition catalogue. In fact, it's the amount of detail is just pretty incredible. So I encourage you to go out and have a good look at it. So this one came from Wellington City Libraries, and it's quite incredible, and definitely worth a look. So
it's more picture dense.
It is picture dense. I'm showing it,
which is really good. Yeah,
I'm showing it to Sue basically.
Yeah.
So there are kind of copper alloy studs in the shape of a flower, for example, that were found. That's the bit, and so sort of antiquities relating to animals that were same sex. Pipes used in relation to Polari and all kinds of things. Definitely worth a look. So another one that I've been looking or listening to actually is a memoir by Dylan Mulvaney, who's an actor and influencer at one point. It's called Paper Doll: Notes from a Late Bloomer, and it's a fascinating memoir in terms of Dylan growing up, feeling like a woman, and the majority of the book is kind of split into two parts. It starts off documenting her first 100 days of girlhood and the people she meets to help her, and surgeries that she's looking to undertake and people that she meets. But then it basically partway through the book, she gets involved in something, or she's the victim of something called Beergate, where, as I mentioned, Dylan was a bit of an influencer, would post videos on TikTok, gain millions of followers, and so people started approaching her to basically advertise things for them, and one of them was Budweiser, I think it was, who wanted to get her to advertise a low-alcohol beer, and then suddenly there was a huge amount of trans abuse of her, basically, complaints and commentary and death threats and things like that. And so, which is really awful. And so part of it is about her kind of recalibrating her life, I guess, after that. And she's very open about the fact that she's somebody of privilege. She doesn't have a lot of the difficulties of people who don't have that privilege. So it talks about what she wants in like her first kiss and her first role in a musical as herself. She has a background in dance and talks with
friends. Not many of us have to think about what we want in a first role in a musical about ourselves, is there?
No. She's certainly she kind of pops into the media, I guess, in terms of if you're on Insta or TikTok or any of those, you'll probably have come across Dylan Mulvaney at some of these celebrity things. So it's quite fluffy, but it's also, I guess, about her reconnecting with family and support that she's had. So I listened to the audiobook, which is quite a good way of kind of getting to know somebody.
Does she read that?
What's that? Does she read it? Yeah. And another trans memoir, actually just by chance, that I'm now listening to is one by Tommy Dorfman, who's a New York actor. It's called Maybe This Will Save Me, a memoir of art, addiction and transformation. So I'm not expecting this one to be nearly as fluffy. These are really good to kind of go about your day, kind of listening to people's lives. So looking forward to that. That's available on Libby, on Wellington City Library's Libby collection, if anyone's looking for it. The e-book's on there as well. And another one that has come across my desk as well, I found these on the new bookshelf at Te Awe Library in Brandon Street. It's called She Loves to Cook, She Loves to Eat. And there are four of these. They're manga.
They're back to front. Like a proper manga, yeah.
I have to admit that, which is terrible to say, but this is probably the first manga that I've read. And it's about this woman who loves to cook, Japanese woman who loves to cook, who basically loves to make huge meals but doesn't eat that much. But then she discovers that there's a woman who lives two doors down in her apartment block who's very tall and basically has a fast metabolism, so eats quite a lot. And so in the meantime, there's a guy at work saying, "Oh, you cook so well and you bring such nice lunches. You'd be a wonderful mother and wife for somebody." And she's like, "Ugh." And so it's very subtle, I have to admit, this book. But there are four in the series, and she goes into the recipes and the types of things that she cooks and the relationship that she develops with this other woman who lives two doors down. So, yeah, it's really lovely. And in the back as well is there are kind of illustrations of food that that she cooks, and there are actually translation notes about what the different food is. And, yeah, it's very cool. I'm quite keen to read the rest of them because it's obviously, you know, there is affection looming between these two. You definitely have to read the next one probably, I would say, to kind of see what happens with their relationship. So
I was trying to figure out what the white thing coming out of her hip is, but it's actually the one.
It's a number it's one,
because,
yes.
Because there are a number of them.
Yeah, there are four of them, yeah. So that's by Sakaomi Yuzaki, and apologies for the pronunciation of the Japanese name. But, yeah, she loves to cook, she loves to eat. And one of the other ones that I've got out from Hutt City Libraries at the moment, if you're looking for it, and I'm sorry because I think there's only one or a couple of copies of this available, is That's What I Am, which is by Lois Cox, Oral Histories of Older Lesbians. And I'm really looking forward to reading this, and hopefully at some stage we can talk to Lois about this. Yeah. So
this is a local.
It is a local publication, yeah. And the book That's What I Am is draws on interviews conducted in the late 1990s with 16 New Zealand lesbians over the age of 50. So it tells the woman's stories through the decades, capturing memories of childhood, adolescence and early adulthood, falling in love and establishing relationships. So, yeah, so it's based on the Older Lesbians Oral History Project and is now published for the first time. And, gosh, time has marched on, Sue. With talk of data analysis and books.
Yes.
So I know that we only have 4 minutes to go, so can we maybe do a quick segue into what's happening?
I think. Yes. Glamophones.
The Glamophones, yeah.
Glamophones concert is coming up.
Yes, it's next Sunday, and I'm involved in it. Sue's involved in it. There are lots of people.
I'm only selling tickets, so.
Yes, it's very sad that Sue's not in the tennis this time around. But, yeah, Glimmer, we've got everything from Sting and Spandau Ballet and the Beatles to Eric Whiteacre. And if you know anything about Carmina Burana, O Fortuna, we get stuck into that, I tell you. So, yeah, so there's quite a variety. 3 o'clock next Sunday. Concerts are normally on Saturdays, but no, next Sunday at 3 p.m. Tickets on the door, or you can buy them online. Have a look at the either go to glamophones.org.nz or our Facebook page. That's the Glamophones Facebook page. And also 9th of July, 7 p.m, Kawe Mahara Queer History Quiz at Thistle Hall. You can dress as your favourite queer figure from history. And in fact, there is the Queer History Month coming up starting in July, starting the 1st of July. And so if you know of, if you want to take part in this year's Queer History Month, do get in touch with Kawe Mahara and they'll add it to the Queer History Month calendar that they're curating.
Hopefully we'll have, do we get Will
yes.
in before then too? So we might come back with that one as well.
Yeah, we're very much hoping that we get to talk to Will Hansen, that is, newly PhD person, which is pretty amazing. So on queer history in Wellington and,
Great.
Yes. And, gosh, we still have 2 minutes and 13.
We have 2 minutes.
Yes, we do.
I've been watching Murderbot.
Oh, yes, you were saying.
On Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I'd got overdone with detailed heterosexual sexual encounters in my books. So I thought, rightio, I want something less so. And found Murderbot, and so that's Martha Wells, and also Ann Leckie's books are kind of nice terrain for that as well.
Ann Leckie?
Ann Leckie, who's but Murderbot, it's on Apple TV, and it's deliciously queer. It's got the strongest sexual...
Asexual
and aromantic, mm-hmm. I think, representation that I've seen for a while, that I've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
and lovely queer relationships and it's
great to see Apple TV getting into producing content like that, right?
Yeah, they produce good content, and this is one of them.
I can certainly recommend the studio if you're interested at all in film history. It's lots of fun on Apple TV. And one thing that I've been watching just really quickly is and Just Like That, the follow-on from Sex and the City, extremely fluffy. Miranda's still trying to find the love of her life, and definitely if you like fluffy stuff, go for that. And we are about to finish up now. We've just got a few seconds left to go. So have a wonderful weekend, and we hope to see you at the Glamophones concert or at the Queer History quiz coming up.
That'll be.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.